Praise the Lord, everyone. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Hallelujah. God's here this morning. If you got a need, God is going to meet your need. It doesn't matter what you find yourself in, what situation, what predicament you may find yourself. Jesus Christ is the answer. More than 25 years ago, I made the decision to serve the Lord. God was in hot pursuit after me. If I didn't yield to the call of God, my oh my, where would I be today? But I know someone's here this morning is teeter-tottering on the verge of totally committing your life to Jesus Christ. If you only yield to the call of God, you would actually limit some of the heartache, some of the pain that you're going through. Because when I accepted the Lord, all my problems didn't go away in one day, but I can tell you this, I wasn't the same. I knew deep down inside of my heart that something happened. I couldn't know or put to words at what I experienced. But I woke up one day expecting to have a withdrawal, feeling the urge to go and do what I was doing. Remember, I'm only one day old in the Lord. And I was waiting and waiting, but it never came. You know, when you're in the world, you got that spirit of the world. It drives you to go do the things you were just accustomed to do. It's an automatic thing. That's when I knew that there's something in this guy. It changed. If you would heed the word of God this morning, God will do something mighty in your life. But this is the thing, though. Watch out. Mira. Check it out. Remember, I come from old school. I come from the barrio. So if you know, if I do my little thing, I do my thing. That was my culture. But I'm full of the Holy Ghost. If you would only yield to God, that's the whole thing. See, anyone in here could change. See, you could change. Okay. You come in here, and God can do a miracle. He can do anything you want him to do. But the buck stops with you, man. If you don't want to change, you're not going to change, dude. I just straight up. You ain't going to change. You could come in here just like you go to work. You could clock in. You could clock out. You know? But do you really want to change? See, that's the thing. See, when I made that decision, I really wanted to change. So, God just set you up. Do you really want to change? Do you really want a difference in your life? Or you rather just accept the same old, same old, same old? No change, just doing the same old thing. But I know that there are some this morning that say, you know what? ¿Sabes qué? Enough is enough. I draw the line. Yeah, I draw the line. That's it. But you gotta stand up to that though. Because a little voice is gonna come to your ear and say, oh man, come on, bro, you can't change. Come on, you do that. Come on. The God stuff. Come on, man. Give me a break, bro. But you know what? Like I was saying, if you only give God a chance, He'll make the difference. He'll make all the difference. Let's give applause to God on what He's going to do and what He's going to continue to do. I shouldn't be too long. I'm trying to learn from Brother Christian to get in there and bam, 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 do what you got to do. Then boom, get out of the way. You know, because when you're a preacher, sometimes you kind of go. You know, and I'm trying to learn how to, you know, to give a precise word and allow God to do what God's going to do. Because how much more can I preach to convince you or let God convince you to? That He's going to do something or you want something from God. How much of that? I can make the altar call right now already. You see? But do you need to be a little more persuaded? Do you need a little more push? Yeah, maybe some. It's all right. It took me a couple of pushes. Yeah, like I was showing with the sister over here, you know. You know, all this grill, my grill right here, it's all fake. I got a fake grill right here. These ain't mine. You see? But I was stubborn, see? I was stubborn. You know, and the Lord had to let the devil, you know, knock my teeth out. But look how good God is, gave me a new grill. Whoop, whoop! That's right. Oh, some of you remember, man. Remember when I was in second in R? Man, I was a brother with no grill. You know what I mean? I didn't have that insurance thing. Everything had to come out of my pocket. But God was good. God gave me a new grill, and I smile now. I smile for the Lord now. Somebody needed to hear that. Somebody needed to hear that, you know? You hear that. We always need something good to hear, you know? God is always doing something. But I want to preach to you this morning, all right? I want to preach to you this morning on this subject. The things we bury in our heart. The things we bury in our heart. The things we bury in our heart. Let's go to Psalms 50 and verse 15. Psalms 50 and verse 15, and then we'll go to Mark 5 and 5 through 6. And this is what it says. It says, and call upon me, the Lord saying, and call upon me, in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And thou shalt glorify me. And in Mark 5, a very familiar portion of scripture, everyone knows the story of the Gadarene or the legion man that was possessed. But I just want to bring this portion of scripture out, and I'll be using a lot of the story to apply. some points here to our lives. This is what it says. It says, but when he saw Jesus afar off. Oh, wait a minute. I missed one. Go back to 5. Verse 5. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshiped him. He ran and he worshiped him. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Father, Lord God in heaven, we come to you, Lord. We ask you once again, God, that you would be here in the midst of us. I pray that your delivering hand will once again have its way. Open up the hearts and the minds of everyone that is here today, God. I want you to heal this morning, God. I want you to deliver. I want you to restore someone's life so that you could get all the honor and the glory this morning, God. And in Jesus' name we pray, and you all may be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, we read in the scripture, and it goes on to say that God wants us to call upon him. To call upon him when you find yourself in trouble, in a situation, when you find yourself where you're in a predicament that you just don't know how to get out of that. He wants us to have easy access to him. But sometimes we have the problem that we go and try to do things on our own. We try to take charge and we try to fix it. We try to make it. Because see, sometimes we get impatient with God. And when we get impatient with God, then we want to take things in our own hands. And we don't want to wait on the Lord because the Lord is taking too long. You see? So we look at it and we want it like a microwave type situation. You want it instantaneously. You want it done. You want it fast. You want God to move. Come on, man. You're taking too long. Come on, Lord. You're going too slow, you know? I need something to happen in my life. I want it now. But where we miss it is that we don't tend to understand that God is on the sideline and God is at work, because whatever your situation is, God is working it for your good. He's working it for your good. So what does God got to do? God got to be on the sideline setting everything up. Setting everything up to benefit you in your walk with him. He's moving. He's constantly moving. Because a lot of times, like the word of God says, it says, lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge. See, that's where we mess up. We lean too much to our own understanding, but we don't acknowledge God in all of our ways. And that's where we blow it. We don't acknowledge him. We don't inquire of the Lord. We don't allow ourselves to say, hey, you know what? Maybe this ain't the right time for God to move and do something. Maybe I need to learn something out of this situation here. And God's saying, call upon me. Call upon me. You know? I'll give you the direction. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the willpower to continue your walk with me. But like I say, a lot of times we lean too much to our own understanding. You know? We still want to be the shot caller of our own life. You know, and God goes, no. You did that before and you made a mess. Yeah. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that road is destruction. Oh, yeah, God will let you go do what you won't do. He'll let you go do what you won't do. Go ahead on. You want to go? Okay, go ahead on without me. Go ahead on. And what happens? We find ourselves flat on our face. Saying, man, what did I do? Man, that was a dumb move. Man, what was I thinking? Man, why did I jump the gun? But God knows where you're at. God knows where you are. Okay? You see, in the story, the Lord was already in the sea with his disciples. He's already in the boat. They was in a boat and there was a storm going on. And the disciples were there in the boat and thinking that they were going to drown and die. And the Lord was just kicking back, taking the ease, laying down in the boat on a pillow, relaxing. And these guys were going crazy. So the Lord had to get up and say, oh, you of little faith. And he spoke to the storm. And he says, be still. And the word of God says, and there was a sudden calmness that just came upon the atmosphere where they were at. A great calm. A very stillness. And I'm over here and I'm thinking, you know what? This is a pretty powerful thing right here, because the Lord already knew that the Gadarene man was in trouble. Because the Bible says, in no wise will God despise a broken and a contrite heart. Because the word of God says that he would cry day and night. Day and night he would cry. And he would cry, and he would cry. And it gets me to think that the Bible mentions that he had a home, and he had some friends. But what happened? What happened to the man that caused him to be in the state that he found himself in? The Bible says that he would be in the mountains, that he would rip off his clothes and run around naked, and that they would try to bound him with chains and fetters and so forth, and no one was able to bound the dude. The dude was out of control. You know, like some of our kids, we just want to lock them up and get out of control. Don't do that, all right? Don't do that. But you get what I'm saying? They were out of control. He was out of control. No one could tame the man. And I think that's where the scripture says that he had friends. I mean, some of his friends probably went out and tried to help the dude out. Help him out. Give him a helping hand, you know? Hey, you know, if everybody already gave up on him, you know what? That's my friend right there. I'm not going to give up on him. I'm going to do what I can. You know, I'm not going to turn my back on him. You know, he is who he is. If I can make a difference, I'm going to go and try to make a difference for him. We don't know if he went through a divorce. We don't know that he went through a hard time so severe that he lost all his family. He lost everything. We don't know. It don't say. We don't know if he was an alcoholic. We don't know if he was a drug addict. You know, I mean, there was drugs back then, you know. We don't know what found him in that situation. We don't know. But we do know what the word of God says, that he had an unclean spirit. He was a wild man. He was possessed, and he had a hard time. The man was going through a hard time. And somehow, some way, a door was opened. And he got oppressed by the devil. It entered his life and made a mess out of it. You know, like our life sometimes, we make a mess out of it. We do things that we're not supposed to be doing. You know, and we make a mess. But you know what, though? I was thinking on this. That every situation that we find ourselves in, even though when we make a mess out of it, if we could just trust in God, just for that little moment. Sometimes it's hard to put trust in God when you're in the situation. You know, it's hard. It's hard for me. I'm not some superhero guy, and I think I got my all strong. I'm weak, just like you. I'm susceptible of falling down, just like any one of you. It doesn't make me any better than anyone in here. I can sin just like you, and I can fall hard. But if we go and we trust in God in such a way that he can make a difference. But you know what a lot of times we find ourselves in? Is that, like I go to my tie, we bury things, man. You know what I mean? You know when you bury something, you put it deep down in the heart. You know what I mean? You see, we put stuff like inside, you know, like, you know, you bitter with somebody. You know, you got this bitter feeling towards somebody. You got this kind of an animosity towards someone, you know, And there was a pain that you experienced in your life, you know. And you know it's there. You know what I mean? You know me, how I get up here and speak and preach to you, you know. Be real. Let's be real, you know. I try to be real because I'm not going to tell you if I ain't put nothing in my heart. I know I put stuff in my heart, and I know I bury things up in my heart. You know what I'm saying? But we have a tendency to do that. Whatever it is, it's a way of escape. If I could only make it go away, if I could only just, you know, subdue or just, you know, just put it away so I don't have to deal with that right now. But I know it's there, but I know I'm going to have to deal with it one day. But I just don't want to deal with it right now. You know? Because it's just going to bring a lot of memory. It's just going to bring a lot of memory back. And I don't want to relive those certain bad experiences that I had in my life. I don't want to deal with that. You know? But when we hear the word, we hear preachings like this, and you know, like Brother Daniel did last week, and Brother Christian did midweek, and, you know, all these things are coming out. You know what I mean? And, you know, and there's still more coming out. That's why God had me up here. I go, but Lord, they already done preached about, you know, put the boxes or whatever in there. You're taking things out of your heart and dealing with things in your heart. And you know what, Lord, but there's things that we hide in our heart. We put stuff in our heart, man, and we hold it. We hold things hard in the heart. Oh, the preacher man can say everything, the Akkad, and this and that, and you don't move. Dance all around it, but you know what? You're not going to touch this right here. You know, that's why the Word of God says that, hey, I want to take that stony heart out of you. See that part, that stone, you know, you got to, I'm going to take that out of you. Because you've been hurt so bad, people done you wrong. But I'm going to take that piece, I'm going to get that out, and I'm going to put something with flesh, something that's going to beat, something that's going to, you're going to start to think different about your situation and your experiences in life. Because, you know, I always share with you, and I feel I'm going to share a few things in my personal life. You know, I was an abused child when I was growing up. See, a lot of people can't get up here and they can't say that. You know, I'm not here to conceal nothing. I'm like an open book. I want to be an open book. I want to be able to share what I experienced, what I went through in life. You think it's easy? Think it's easy to be a child that's been, you know, rejected and to be abused? I got a witness right there. She'll tell you. She knows what I've been through. It ain't easy. But you got to grow up like that. You know, you grow up like that. You young and experiencing certain things in your life and dealing with it at a young age, that's a hard thing, you know what I mean? Young people got a tendency to close up. They won't open up. They just close up. They clamp. They don't want to share. They're going through a heartache. They're going through a hard time. It close up. Like a lot of us, we close up. We just subdue. We try to just push down. It's too much hurt going on in the inside. We just don't even want to deal with it. We just push it, try to push it away. No one, you know. And a lot of times, sometimes our mind, our own spirit speaks to us and tells us, you know what? You know, just keep it to yourself, man. You know, just keep it to yourself. Nobody's gonna understand you. That's what I did. Teenager, that's what I had to go through. You know? Just feel rejected by everybody. Then I had to go through school, and I had a stuttering problem. Because I think all because of the trauma and the terror that I had to experience, I think it done something to me. Because I was so afraid. When am I going to get hit or slapped or when is that going to happen again? You know, so you live on the edge. You live because you don't want to offend that person. You don't want to get that person aroused to slap you or to do certain things to you. You live like that. You live in, you know, you look at what we call adults in different ways. We just kind of try to navigate through life and see how, you know, hey, you know, are they going to be rude to me? They're going to be mean to me? You know, these things go on in people's lives. But who do you got to go to? Who do you got to go to go share something like this with? Not anybody. Not anybody's going to understand you. See, I was molested too. Who are you going to go to tell somebody about what happened to you, man? Who are you going to go to? You're just a little guy and you got to deal with these type of emotions in your life. Who do you got to go to? And especially if they go and tell you something. You say something, I'm going to this, and this is going to happen to you. This is going to happen to you. And you live in a fear. You look, the outlook of adults and people, and it's different. You try your best as a young person to understand what was it that you did that this had to happen to you? What was it? You're young. You buried it. You concealed it. You don't want nobody to know what happened to you. But you live your life. Whatever pain, whatever hurt you had to go through, you lived with it. The words that were spoken to you, you live with it. And those words go deep down in your soul. And they haunt you in the echo of your mind. And you hear them, and you hear them, and you hear them. I used to be so afraid when I would be in middle school, because when it was my turn to read, because I stuttered, it was hard to read, and I knew it was going to be my turn to read, and I would sit there, and I would turn red, and I would get so hot and sweaty because I knew it was going to be my turn to read. And I would attempt my best to try to read. And I just stuttered and couldn't get my words out and tried my best to read. And hearing behind me and beside me, hearing those kids laugh at me, man, just laughing at me. And the teacher tried to do their best to say, that's not nice to do that. But you know what? The damage was already done. Just hearing the laugh, I became angry, so angry, and I hid it in my heart. I was so mad. I didn't know how to navigate. I didn't know how to deal with the pain and the hurt that was in me. How do I deal with something like that? Who do I got to go to tell somebody, hey, man, this is what's going on inside of me. How do I deal with it? How do I escape? How do I cope? Or who can I tell someone? Who can I trust to share with somebody what's going on inside of me? And that's how I started getting in trouble, because I remembered those faces that were laughing and laughing and laughing at me because of the way I spoke. And I would go to that person with a book, with a rock or a ruler, and I'd just smack them upside the head. Because you're so frustrated. You don't know how to deal with something like that. So you want it to stop. Oh, I'll make it stop, man. You know what? I'm going to make it stop. And I busted them up. But did it stop? No, it just started something else. Then I started to get into fights and da 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 da. And then I started getting suspended. And it just kept on. Life just started to snowball. You know? I just wanted to be accepted, you know? I just want people not to laugh at me. That's all that, was that a lot to ask for a young guy? I remember one day, and God is my witness, and I shared this before, I cried as a young teenager. I cried. And I said to myself, God, can you please help me to speak? I don't want to talk like this no more. Can you please help me, God? And one night, my grandparents and my aunts and all them, they and people from the church, when it was on second, on 12th and H. They used to come to our house. My grandfather had all the hermanos and hermanas, and they would sing those old school songs. And God used that one song. I've been on the mountains with Jesus. Not knowing that God had begun something in me. I heard it, and I started to cry, and I started to shake. My mouth started to shake. I didn't know what the Holy Ghost was. All I remember was I was shaking and I was crying. And the next morning, I went to school, and it was my turn to read. And this is no joke. Check this out. I was sitting there, and it was my turn to read. Okay, James, you read the next paragraph. And I went up there, and I said, sure. And I just started reading. It didn't even dawn on me. It didn't even dawn on me that I was reading. I was actually reading. Man, I was there and I got done and I just kind of looked around and one of the guys, he goes, "Hey, that was pretty good reading. You read good, huh?" I go, "Was I reading?" He goes, "Yeah, you're reading, dude. That sounded real nice." I said, "Oh, yeah." He was real, yeah, he was cozying up to me. "Oh, dude, you read good." I said, "Oh, yeah, I did, huh?" He goes, "Yeah, I didn't even know I could read." He goes, "Man, that was good." And then ever since then, I was able to speak. But you know what God does now? When there's nothing good that's going to come out of my mouth, guess what I do? I stutter. See, he may not do that all to you. See, God deal with people in different ways when he's dealing with you. God knows how to deal with you your way. God knows how to deal with me my way. Oh, man. God is off the hook. You know what I'm saying? He's a man. That's why I tell people, just serve God, man. Don't be one foot in, one foot out. Well, hear me now. Because we don't want God to vomit us out. You're either going to be the one or the other. Don't be playing church. Don't play church. Because you don't know the time where God is going to take you. I'd rather have God take me when I'm in the Lord, fully hot and committed, than to be on the other side, play Christian and say, "Oh, praise the Lord," and wear the long dresses and the tie and play the role. But you know this, you know what's buried on in the inside that keeps you away from committing your life to God? You know, come on, man, don't play that. You know, you go to church once a year, once a month. Come on, man, what's burying out? You know, the Lord inside there. You know, the Lord's supposed to be living in there. But something else is burying it. Burying out the Lord. You know, you're stuffing it. You know what I mean? You're stuffing it. You know, I say that with very high reverence, you know. I don't want you to turn around and say, "Oh, man, you know, Brother Jay, I'm going to jump over there capping on me or trying to, you know, dog me out or something." I ain't trying to dog you out. I'm trying to be real to you. You know what I mean? I don't like somebody to come and sugarcoat things and tell me things that, "Oh, brother, it's okay, hermano. You know, you're young in the Lord and da 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 this and that." And no, the Word of God teaches, hey, you know, some you say with compassion, you know, some get bent out of shape real easy, too sensitive. You gotta say con cariño, "Hey, okay, hermano. Hey, we need to get it going a little bit, okay, just a little bit." Hermanos, hey, come on, you know, we gotta put the one foot front, and you know, you gotta come on, let's get it going. And some you gotta say, you know, either you straighten up or God'll take you out. You put the metal to the pedal and let's take off in the Lord. You know? And nah, man, you know, God knows how to deal with you. You know, God is long suffering with us, but there is a time where, you know what I'm saying? God will take off the cinto. You know what I mean? I'd rather God take off the cinto and give me a good ones. You know? And then instead of letting the world give me those lickings, forget that. Man, I had enough lickings out there already. The world tore me up. You know, lost my grill and everything. You know God's good. You know God's good. That's right. That's right. I'm going to end with this. Bible says that the man, the Gadarene man, seen Jesus afar off. I said, man, how far was he afar off to see Jesus? How far was he away from God? So I kind of, you know, you go through the archaeological stuff, the maps and all that kind of stuff. So I got in there. I started just looking around and reading up in there and says, well, how far was he? And I just want to know. According to a Bible dictionary, it says it's like 1,240 feet above sea level, overlooking the Golan Heights and the Sea of Galilee, and it stood on a hill. So he was up high. But he was able to see. He was able to see the answer to his situation. He was able to see the answer to all his problems. He was able to see the great deliverer of his soul. See, the thing is that we got to see him in our trouble. We got to see him when we find ourselves in the midst of any situation you find yourself. The thing is to see him, or to want to see him, or to want to go to him. Because a lot of people don't go to God. They could be half dying in their bed and they still won't go to God. I seen it with my own eyes. They won't even acknowledge God. They could be dying. Yeah? This is the beautiful thing. So where he was at, the Bible says, he ran. He ran all the way down. And he fell down before the Lord. And the Bible said, and he worshiped him. He worshiped him. Some things in your life, you got to run from them, baby. You got to run. Like the Lord told Lot and his wife, run and don't look back. Run and don't look back. He that put his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You got to look straight. You got to put all your attention straight upon him, the author and the finisher of your faith. You put your eyes on him. It's all about him. There's nothing else. And there's nothing else. It's him. It's him in your life making a difference. If you want the difference, if you want the change, that's if you want it. If you don't want it, you're just coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. I want to come. I want to change. I want something to change, man. We know when there's something's not right. We know when something's not right in here, in the heart. We know when it's, you're not right. You hide. You know this. You have a tendency to just, you know, I don't want to be around too much of the brothers. You know what I mean? I've been doing bad, and I gotta stay away from the brothers a little bit. The sisters, I gotta be over here, because you know you ain't right. You know the conviction. That conviction starts going ba 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 ba. It starts hitting on your heart because you know you ain't doing right. But you wanna do right. You really do wanna do right. But you, Paul says, that I find that there's a war. There's a struggle going on in the inside. And every time I want to do good, it just seems that I can't find it within me. And I do the wrong thing. But I really want to do good. But I always tend to do the wrong thing. So I know there's a war. There's a tug of war going on inside of me. And Paul goes, well, thank God through my Lord Jesus Christ that gives me the victory, man. You got to give the Lord a chance. You got to give him a chance. But like I say, but if you want it, if you want it, you're going to live. You're going to leave here this morning. But you got to talk to yourself and you got to say to yourself, do I really want it? Do I really want it? I don't want to bury things no more, man. Man, my life feels like I'm walking in a gravesite. I got a whole bunch of buried things in my life. All kind of things are all buried in my life. Got this buried. I got that buried. I got all kinds of things buried. I don't want those things buried no more. I don't want to bury no more. Man, it just weighs me down. It don't get me back on track. I keep derailing. I fall short of the glory of God. And I keep stumbling. I got to put the Lord first. See, that's the thing today. You got to put the Lord first. You know, every one of you know where you're at in God. From 1 to 10, you know, you gauge yourself. You know where you're at. But be truthful to yourself. Lord, I ain't no 10. I'm a 0 right now, God. But I want to be a 10. I may be a 2 right now, God. But I want to be a 10. God, I'm only 5, Lord. I'm only a 5, God. But I want to be a 10. I know I can get it right. I know what I got to do. See, everybody in here knows what they got to do. I talk to all the men. If you want to be a sissy lala, that's on you, carnal. You can live the life the way you want to live your life. You know? Yeah, there's a lot of brothers and hermanos I would hear. Yeah, there was a tough guy in the street, and there were all this and that, the acá. You know, they get down, and they come serve the Lord. And now they don't even last a year. They don't even last 4 months. And they get offended. And they leave the Lord. What happened to the brother that was all the acá? You know, I was all a cholito and I was bad. I was down and for the barrio and this and that. And all of a sudden he comes to the Lord and all of a sudden he goes through a trial and he's gone. Even some hermanas, you know, you said you were all this and that. And you get, oh, the sister just looked at me all up and down and, oh, roll my eyes. Oh, she didn't do that. Oh, the sister didn't roll them eyes at me, huh? It's on, huh? You know what I'm saying? They get, you know, get them chucks going, boy, you know? And what happens? Where's the hermana? Where'd she go? She's gone, man. She's gone. What happened? I think she got offended. What? I say it all in joking. But you know what, though? You know where you're at. You know. I know where I'm at. I know what I got to do. There's some seasoned saints up in here. We know what we got to do. You know, but some of us, we gotta get burped. We gotta have our diaper changed. You know, come on, be real. Come on. It's all right. I can put you right here. I can burp you. I do love, but I won't change your diaper. I'll burp you though. You see, this is the beautiful thing about this story. He begged Jesus, can I go with you, man? Can I go with you, man? You delivered me. You healed me. Can I go with you? You put me in my right mind. You clothed me. You clothed me and put me in my right mind. I just want to sit by you and hear you, God. I just want to go wherever you go, God. And the Lord says, no, my son. No, my son. But go on your way. Go on your way. Go to your home. Go to your friends and tell them how good the Lord has been to you. See, that's the icing on the cake. When the Lord does something for you, when the Lord heals you, or when the Lord delivers you, and you know He did something miraculous in your life, it's not for you to just sit on it. The Lord says, go your way. Go on and tell them how good and merciful I've been to you. Let's all stand. So I make this altar call. Cartoon came in my mind. Yeah. That pig, goes, do you really want to change? Something like that, right? Do you really want to change in your life? Something triggered in your spirit, and God revealed something to you in your heart. You've seen it. I know you've seen it because I've seen the reaction on your face. I bid you to come and allow God to make that change. Just a little. Maybe you got more than one, but at least if He took care of one, it'll make all the difference. I want you to come up. Don't hesitate, because the Lord is only going to call one time for you to come to this altar. If you refuse to want to change, then you got to deal with that. But God goes, hey, I want to change something. Let me make the difference in your life. Let me change it. Remember, God is a gentleman. He won't force you, but He'll just nudge at your heart. He'll just knock at the door. The Bible says He knocks at the door. If any man hears, let Him open up the heart. Let Him up the door to His heart. And let me sup with Him and He with me. There you go. There you go. You see, as you're walking, it's already happening. There you go, Lord. Make yourself wonderful right now, God. The ones that came, Lord, and the ones that are in the pews, God, but they're making their choice right there where they're at, God. I pray Your healing hand, I pray Your delivering hand will come upon them right now, God. Heal them, God. Deliver them in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, I surrender all to You, Lord. It's me, Lord. You've seen it all in my life. You've seen everything that I buried, God. I don't want to bury it no more, God. I want to be truthful. I want to be truthful to myself and to You.